Scary up there. I want to wish everybody a good morning and glad we're all here on this beautiful Lord's Day. And if you're in our radio listening audience, I guess in our electronic listening audience, we want to welcome you and glad that you've taken your time to tune in with us. And like we say, if you have any questions about the worship here that this congregation of the Lord's Church, call the number and somebody will answer your questions and try to help you to find out what you need to know. On our announcement list this morning, let's remember Mike Porter and his burns from his accident. And I think Mike's healing up pretty slowly, but he's healing up. Let's remember Naomi Simmons and Dustin. Again, it's good to see Ro here and Ken and Sandy White and Tamitha. She's here this morning, I believe. And we're all glad to see them. And Sherry with her ongoing infections with her.
She's here too.
She's here too, back there with Naomi and Ro and Dustin. And the congregation wants to express our condolences for the passing of Naomi and Sherry's sister. Her name was Linda Sue Hobbs Okerson. And she was from Franklin, Tennessee. And she's one of six sisters. So Sherry and Naomi have, and they have one brother too. And she passed away on June 4th, I believe. And she was buried on June 11th over Cave-In Rock. So let's remember Naomi and Sherry's family. And she is survived by her husband, Ed, and her son, Ed, and her husband, Al. And let's remember our shut-ins, Rose Beattie, Catherine Wright, Evelyn Belt, Judy Mayberry, Jack and Millie King. These are all homebound. And let's remember these individuals. And also, we got a message today, a phone call about the health condition of her sister, Kay Collins. And Brent's wife had wrote me out a note here. This is from the granddaughter, Jamie Collins, called during class and requested prayers for today. Kay Collins has been on a ventilator for the past week. They went to perform surgery and found her entire small intestine is gone. And because of this, they are taking her off the ventilator today. And she requested prayers that she will pass easy and not suffer. Brent gave condolences and told her that they will pray for the family during this difficult time, and the whole congregation will. And we found out that she's at Gateway in Evansville, Indiana, and Doug said after services he's going to go over there.
They requested.
I talked to Charles, James.
The son.
Yeah. From her father for me to come.
Okay. So let's keep Collins' family in our prayers. Also, Brent gave me a small report on his knee injury, and he said the shot that they gave him in the knee is kind of helping if he stays off the stairs, which he was supposed to, but he said the swelling has gone down and maybe he's getting better there. Let's remember our birthdays for this month of June, Don DeMario and James Miller. And is there any other announcements that I have left out, anything that we need to? Okay. Our order of worship today, Jamie Poe will be doing our evangelism prayer. Songs will be led by James Miller. Our main prayer, opening prayer, will be done by Josh Blair. And on our Lord's Supper and contribution today will be David Hutchcraft and David Morris. We have two Davids. The door greeters for June is the Blair family. Our scripture reading is done by Brent Volkert. It will come out of Psalms 28, verses 6 through 9. And our morning sermon will be by Doug, and it's called The Habit of Blessing, The Habit of Blessings, and then we'll have an invitation song. So The Habit of Blessings is the name of the sermon. And our closing prayer will be done by James Miller. And tonight's the evening sermon is called The Plan. And I believe the pew greeters for July, I think it's a misprint, will be the Millers. Does anybody have any other information that we need to share? If not, we'll turn the service over to Jamie Poe, I believe, for the evangelism prayer.
So I brought the contact card up here to remind y'all we need these filled out. Krista made the point last week. She said, you remember when you was a kid how many times you had to go over the alphabet to learn it? You know, it's memorization. So we're going to start talking about this a lot because we need these. This is the lifeline to the whole evangelism program right here. And think of a neighbor, think of a friend, think of a loved one that's sick, that just moved into town, that had a baby. I mean, it can be for anything, okay? And it can be anybody. So fill these out. We're actually running out of people to send cards to. And I know with this many people, somebody's got to know somebody that needs a card. So get you a contact card. They're on the back table. Keep one with you all the time. You might run into somebody in town or at the store or something. Just fill it out and bring it back. So this is the lifeline to our whole program right here. So keep these with you and try to get some filled out. Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer this morning that we've got an evangelism program here that we've started that's trying to reach the lost and reach those in our community who may not know you. Also, Father, people that may have known you and lost contact with you, that this is the lifeline to your church, is to bring people in and teach them your word and teach them what's going on. And we just pray that you will bless this program. We pray that you will help us work and keep active in it. Father, we pray that people will fill out the contact cards and that we'll be able to get a hold of those people and maybe get them a little closer to you, Father, that bringing your church and building your church to the communities, what's the whole Bible is. It says to seek and save the lost, and that's what we're trying to do at this program. And we just pray that you'll bless it, Father. Father, for all those that we've already reached and contacted, we just pray that we can stay in touch with them, that something that we do or say will touch them in a way that they'll want to be part of what's going on here. Father, we're to be like you, and when you look at us, you're to see yourself. We're made in Christ's image, and when people come here and through this program, we just pray that that's what they'll see and that they'll want to be part of it, Father. These things we ask in your name we pray. Amen.
Our first song selection this morning, God Himself is with us. This is song 177, if you're following along on our hymnals. That title, God Himself is with us, 177.
Alone, God, we own to our Lord and Savior.
song that we'll sing before we're led in our opening prayer this morning. That title is Higher Ground. This is song 234, if you're following in our hymnals. Higher Ground, song 234. We'll sing this song, and then we will be led in prayer.
I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I've found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us all here together to sing songs of worship and praise your name. God, we know that sometimes in the world that things happen that harden our hearts. And we know in the Bible it never says that you'll soften our hearts. It says you'll give us new hearts. Please give us new hearts so we could understand your word and learn to be better Christians than we have in the past. God, we thank you for all the blessings. Just and pray. Amen.
Before we commune together, we will sing song number 764, the title of that song in our hymnals, When We Meet in Sweet Communion. That's 764. It's the same song that you see here on the screen. We'll sing this song, and then we'll share together the Lord's Supper.
While partaking of
Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and almighty Heavenly Father, we give thanks for your Son's great sacrifice, the greatest sacrifice that can be given, his life on the cross. We may have everlasting life in heaven. As we remember that suffering of his body and this emblem of bread that represents him, we ask that you bless this and we take it in a manner pleasing in thy sight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Let us continue. Father, we're so thankful for this memorial feast. And Father, at this time, we want to commemorate and memorialize your Son's blood. Father, as my class studied this morning, that the church was purchased with the blood of Jesus. And we're thankful for that, Father, that we recognize that we, as members of that body, the church, that we are purchased with his innocent blood. Father, the price of our redemption was the pure sacrifice of the Son of God. We can't be worthy of that, Father. We really can't. But we can be thankful for it. And as we partake of this fruit of the vine, Father, help us to remember with what a dear price was paid. But it wasn't a bitter price, Father, because your Son loved so much that although those around him tried to mock him and scold him and make fun of him, Father, that he had a heart full of love for each and every one, and he still does today. Help us, Father, remember that as we drink this cup to remember the innocent blood of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Having concluded the Lord's Supper, we now have the opportunity to give back a portion of that that we've been blessed with. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so blessed and we give thanks for that blessing. We pray that everyone gives with a free heart to do your work here at the Church of Christ in Harrisburg. We ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Please have your songbooks in hand for our next selection. That song number is 5, and that song title, A Hill Called Mount Calvary. Song number 5, A Hill Called Mount Calvary, is our next song selection this morning. There are things as we travel this earth-shifting sense that transcend all the reason of man. But the things that matter the most in this world, they can never be held in our end. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged cross. I believe that the Christ who was slain on the cross has the power to change lives today. For he changed me completely. A new life is mine. That is why by the cross I will stay. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged cross. I believe that this life with its great mysteries surely someday will come to an end. But faith will conquer the darkness and death and will lead me at last to my friend. I'll believe whatever the cause. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged cross. If you would at this time mark our song of encouragement. Selection that we will sing after our lesson is 655. There's a Fountain Free. Song 655, that's an encouragement hymn that we'll sing after our lesson of this hour. Once you have that marked, the song that we will sing prior to our lesson is Redeemed. This is song 543 in our hymnals. Song 543, Redeemed is the title.
Sweet is the song I'm singing today.
Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Psalms, Psalms 28, verses 6 through 9. If you're following along in the Pew Bibles, that can be found on page 493. The Bible reads, "Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also and bear them up forever."
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want you to know that I'm blessed to see y'all and for us to be together today. We're going to talk about the habit of blessing. I think sometimes we think about habits, and we talked about this last week some too, but the habits is something that we do until it becomes a part of us. It's a habit, and then it becomes a part. It's our habit, but we don't think about it as being a habit because it becomes a part of who we are and what we do. The first habit that we're going to be talking about in the next few weeks is the habit of blessing, blessing others. And the word blessing, when we think about this, first of all, we want to talk about who are we going to bless. And I want to encourage us, as we begin to form this habit more greatly in our life, is to bless maybe three people each week. At least one of them should be a part of the church, a member of the church. The second one, when someone that is not, and then you can pick a third one, okay? Someone in the church or someone that's outside of the church. It doesn't have to be the same person every week. Probably would be a good idea to change it up, but focus on how can I bless someone today or this week? And so as we begin to try to form these habits, it's something that we want to focus on, is that we're focusing outside of ourselves, focusing and thinking about others. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, and it says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good." I think this is a really good place for us to start, that we should not grow weary in doing good, while we're doing good. It shouldn't be tiresome for us. It should be a blessing that for us to bless others, that we can do that. "For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." And that's the same thing with all things in life, is it not? That we do not want to lose heart in our Christian walk with God. And we want to stay faithful to Him. And we shall reap. It's like when we give, blessed are those who give rather than getting, right? That we learned from the scripture that we talked about this morning. Also, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Don't give up. Don't become tired of it. It becomes a part of us. It's a part of who we are. "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all." So it goes beyond, and we're going to see in the last part of this verse is talking about the church as well. But our blessings should be something, a part of our nature. It's a part of who we do, whoever we're with. You know, just simple things sometimes. Someone, you open the door for someone. They say thank you, and you say, "You're welcome," right? Or, and we say, what are the magic words to kids, right? Please and thank you. These are words that bless people. And if someone doesn't do them or someone doesn't say them, do you miss them? Well, why didn't they say thank you? Or why didn't they say you're welcome? I was at a restaurant the other day, and as I was going out, there was a lady coming in, and I opened the door and let her go first, and she says, "Well, thank you." You know, like it's something unusual. Let us be unusual, right? Let us be different kind of people that make a difference. And we're good. We should be this way to everybody, but especially to those who are of the household of faith, especially. And so that's why when we talked about these blessings, let's start by blessing one another and finding ways that we can do that. Well, to bless, it means from a compound of the words to speak well of or religiously to bless, and thank you, invoke a benediction upon, prosper. Of course, we're talking about definitions, right? And so you know how definitions go. But it's a matter of speaking well of one another, blessing one another, invoking a benediction upon someone. And in Revelations it says that we're more blessed if we give than, I mean, if you put your hand up. When we were kids, let me start back up here just a little bit. When we were kids, it got to be so it was kind of a joke. So the lesser is blessed by the greater. And so as kids, we would say, "Bless you, therefore I'm greater." Of course, it was not the right way to look at it, okay? Not the right way to say, "Hey, I'm better than you because I blessed you first." But that's when we think about definitions, it's thinking about other people. Also, it means to add strength to someone's arm. Hold up someone that's not doing well. Hold up to someone that has suffered grief and suffered hardships. How can I do that? What can I say? What can I do that would bless them? Build others up to fill them with encouragement for them to increase in strength and prosperity. It's important that we are encouragers, that we say, you know, "It's really good to see you today. I'm so thankful that you're here." And let it not just be words, but let it be a part that we really are. We're really glad to be together. And James McMillan in the class would say, he says, "We don't hug as much as we used to." Well, we don't have to hug, but I always enjoy Martha's hugs She's always got a hug for you, she says to me. This is Doug's hug. And so, you know, those kind of things are special. They touch us, encourage. How can you encourage someone today? Think about that as we go along today. Well, what does this mean? Anything that relieves the burden of life. How can I relieve your day? How can I make it better? I visited, as most of you know, that we're here on Wednesday night, that I went up to Bettendorf, Iowa, to see my youngest daughter and family. And I left on Thursday morning. I came back yesterday evening. So it was a real quick trip. But like everybody else, she's struggling with some things in her life and some things that made her really sad. And so I tried to lift her spirits up. I mean, she was trying to lift me up. She says, what can we do together, Dad? You know, that kind of stuff. But, you know, I wanted to lift her up because I know some things she was struggling with. How can I relieve your burdens? Anything that helps them breathe easier. You know, life gets so hard sometimes it feels like we can't even breathe. And sometimes it's just say, take a deep breath and know that you're being cared for, that you're being loved. It lifts people's spirits and alleviates their distresses. So we can't completely do that. But if people know that we care, that's what's important. They know that we care and that we love them, and we're reaching out to them because of that. And it can be small or large. It doesn't have to be anything major, but sometimes it matters just to sit with someone and be with them when they're going through a hard time. There's three kinds of blessings that we're going to talk about today. First of all, words of encouragement, which I've already started talking about that. Personal visits, phone calls, to send a card, to send them an email, a note, even a text. You know, today things are so much different than they used to be, but what's the best thing, do you think? Maybe a personal visit? Maybe a phone call where you actually talk to them? But people enjoy getting a card. When was the last time that you got anything in the mail besides bills? Isn't it nice to get a card or a letter from a family or a friend to say that we're to be encouraged? Now, we have some good card senders here, so that's important that we do that. But words of encouragement can be so important. I love this quote from Mark Twain. I can live for 2 months on a good compliment. Now, Mark Twain is probably not somebody we quote in Bible class and in worship too often, but I like this quote. Just a truly good compliment. I really, you know, you're doing a good job, or I thank you for your efforts. You know, things like that can really make a big difference. Encouragement, therefore, requires empathy. Empathy means that I see the world from your point of view, not from mine, but from your point of view. Feel not just for them, but with them. I care, I'm with you. How can I help? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Well, it starts with God, doesn't it? To realize what God has given to us, what he has blessed us with, and we're to trust not in what we have, but what we are and what we can do for others. Then in verse 18, let them do good that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. You know, again, we're talking about the type of people God wants us to be. He wants us to be people that do good, that are looking for the good in others, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. That's what we need to be. We should be willing to share our time, our money, our food, whatever we might have, willing to share with others. Let us do good, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Has God done good things for us?
Yes.
Over and abundantly, has he not?
Yes.
What about Jesus? Did Jesus do good things for us? Well, think about what he was on this earth, right? What did Jesus do? He healed the sick. He fed the 5,000. He walked on water to show people that he was really there for them. He took time to pray. Sometimes with them, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he taught them to pray. What we need to do is to do what we can do for others like God has done for us so that we will be ready for eternal life. Do you think God is going to want in heaven people that are not lovers of others, that are not encouragers, that are not blessing one another. This is a part of who we are and what we become. Okay, number two, acts of kindness. Do a favor. Provide someone a kind of support. And we've talked about encouraging. Encouraging does this too, but think about what can I do as an act of kindness. Look for ways how you could be kind to someone today. Look for ways that you can reach out to them and care for them. In Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 31, first of all, verse 27, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you." Now, wait a minute here. You're going to have put us to do this? This really isn't real that Jesus is talking about, is it? It is real. Love your enemies. Think about people that don't like you. Well, let's just put it that way. We don't have to be calling them enemies. People that are not nice to you. What are you supposed to do for them? Love them. Do good to them who hate you. I don't like people to hate me. But there's people that don't like us, right? They may even hate us. What are you supposed to do for them? Do good to them. In verse 28 and 29, "Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from whom takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Bless those who curse you." So rather than getting in an argument, when someone starts saying bad things about you, say, "You know, I really think you're a pretty good person." I mean, you say, "Oh, I don't take that personally. You're not really meaning that." And they might be meaning it, but you have to be good to them. Landon Saunders, a preacher when I was a college student, that I heard quite a bit. One of the things he says, we don't have time to get in a slapping contest with others. We don't have time to do that. If someone slaps you, love them, right? We don't need to get angry. We need to respond with love. I know that's not our nature, is it? That's not our human nature. Our nature is to defend ourselves, right? To protect ourselves. To fight back. If they say something bad to me, I'm going to say something bad to them. That's not what God wants. That's not what Jesus wants. He wants us to treat people differently. And he says in verse 30, "And give to everyone who asks you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back." Really, Jesus? Yes, really. Did Jesus do this very same thing? All the time. All the time he gave. And then 31, "And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise." We call that the golden rule, don't we? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. The third gift that we'll talk about today is the gift of love. Gifts of love. The recipient of a gift thrives on, and that's a quote that I'm just taking in, so I want to read it to you. "The recipient of a gift thrives on love, the thoughtfulness and effort behind the gift, not just expected times of gifting, but totally random gift giving, just because, shows a spirit of giving and love." Think about it for a minute, for the other way around. Let's suppose that someone today came and brought you a gift. Not because of your birthday, not because of your anniversary, even though we have some birthdays, happy birthday. And so we want to say that, but it's a matter of we do it just because. It's because you're thinking about them, just because they need it, just because you want them to know they're loved. There's a lot of just becauses that we can do. And again, some are because of needs. Sometimes people need things, and we want to bless them and help them that way. But others are because of expressions of love and thoughtfulness and kindness. As we change our nature, and we are always growing, always becoming as a children of God, we can always be more and do more. I know that I can, and I know that I need to. I look at myself and say, you know, sometimes I challenge myself about this, and I always appreciate people when they do too. So we need to think about that. In Luke 6:38, it says, "Give, and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you." I always love this scripture. You know, here you have something and you think, do I have this full? No, he's saying, don't just be it full. Don't press it just to the top. Let it be running over with blessings, right? Let it be running over until it fills us up. And so that's how we should do it with someone. You think you've blessed them. Well, that's good. I mean, that's a good start. Can you do it more? Okay, press it down. Let's get some more. Let's pack some more love in there, right? Let's pack some more good in there. And then what happens? Then you let it overflow and you just keep on, and it overflows from you and it overflows to them, and you bless them beyond measure. So it's such a great passage, such a great scripture that talks about how our nature needs to change, how we need to become, right? And it will be measured back to you. And that's that expression that was used in Bible class this morning. We can't outgive God. No way we can outgive God in what we do. Then in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Again, you think about sowing. If you're planting a garden, if you plant seeds every 6 inches, that's good. But what happens if you plant them right next to each other as they go along? Now, some things you don't want to do that, but like tomato plants, right? Tomato plants need room to hear and room to grow. But if you plant them right, then they'll abundantly grow. So we need to sow properly. We need to sow, not to sow sparingly, but to sow bountifully, to sow generously into people's lives and watch the overflow. And we do this, again, because it's what we should do. It's because of what we should be. Well, what are the reactions then to blessings? In Romans chapter 12, 20 and 21, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. In other words, you'll make him take up notice that you really care for him, and it might, just might, change his life. Did Paul sow? You think about Paul, the Apostle Paul. Paul was an opponent of God, opponent of Jesus Christ, rather. He thought he was fighting for God. But he stood there and took all the coats when they stoned Stephen. He did a lot of bad things, as was mentioned. And we need to find out that not to do those kind of things. But because Christ came to him and pointed out to him that he was loved, then he turned 180 degrees back to God. So in so doing, you're going to heap coals of fire on those that you're loving. That doesn't mean they'll always respond positively. It'll really make them take notice that Jesus Christ is there. In verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Jesus did good to many, many people. Thousands of people. Fed 5,000. He healed all day in some places, all day and all night. You know, healed people till they quit coming. Excuse me. But still, he was punished. Still he was hated. Still he was doubted. People did not follow him, especially on the day he was crucified. No one stood up and said, no, don't do that. All those that were there were crying, except those, maybe his disciples, and they kept silent. But Jesus kept on doing good. He went to the cross to do good so everyone could be saved. Not everybody is saved, but all those that come to him can be saved. Well, when we think about evangelizing then, the greater impact we have with our teachings will be because that we have been blessing of people. Back to living unexpected lives, we find ourselves being questioned by others, then we have the best opportunity to share the hope of Christ within us. Have you done something good for someone and they might say, will you pray for me? Or maybe you've done something as you do things for people, they said, well, why are you doing this? And you have the opportunity to tell them, well, you're doing it because God loves you. And I want to do what God wants me to do. You know, but our blessings must be for the sake of blessings and not with ulterior motives. Not with the idea that I'm going to give to you, and so I give to you, so you should do the right thing. Well, you want people to do the right thing. Does God give to us when we're not, before we become Christians? Does he bless us with rain, and you know, talks of the rain on the just and the unjust? Does God quit that? No, he still wants us to come to him. He wants us to continue to come to him and be blessed by him. He doesn't do it just to get us to come to him. He does it because he loves us and wants us to know him better. Therefore, we need to develop a rhythm of blessing, of gift giving. It becomes a pattern of life. Our time spending that we do, how am I spending my time? Am I spending it for others? affirmation sharing. We're affirming, we're building people up as an end to itself because it fosters a spirit of generosity. You know, our giving, our blessing, should help us as much or more than it does them, right? It's more blessed to give than to receive. That's what it means. We should feel the great joy of giving to others. It mirrors the character of God and of Christ in our lives because that's how they do for us. And it alerts others to Him. Why are we sending 368 cards or how many ever we have sent by this point in time? We're doing it to let people know we care about them. It lets people know that we care. The recipient, therefore, must feel blessed. Lift them up and strengthen them. They must not be manipulated, as we've been talking about, or used, but we give them the right to return in their love, to let them know that they can love back in return. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Look to the interest of others. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition. We do it because it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to love people. It's the right thing to care for people. Therefore, the habit, number one, blessing three people each week, right? Bless one Christian, one non-Christian, and then one other person, either in the church or not. Bless by encouragement. We bless because we encourage each other. We bless by acts of kindness, what we do for people. We bless by gifts of love. And that gift of love doesn't always have to be a physical gift, but what are you giving of yourself to others? Bless not to get, but to give, to love and to serve and to lift others up. What has Christ given us, right? We've talked about this already. He's given up heaven for us. He's given up his life in heaven to come down here and to live with amongst us as human beings. He gave up his life on the cross. He was resurrected from the dead and he's coming back again. He's given us a new way of life. He's given us salvation in Jesus Christ. He's given us the opportunity to be with him forever in eternity. Has he blessed beyond measure? He has. God wants us to bless beyond measure. Let us create a habit of blessing in our lives today so that we can be all that God wants us to be. If you need to come forward this morning and to know that God has a place for you in your life, won't you come to him now as together we stand and sing.
There's a fountain preaches for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to its brink. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all. Let us hasten joyfully there.
In a moment, we'll be dismissed with a prayer. We want to keep in mind all of those that are on our prayer list. At this time, none of our prayers should be without mentioning of our sister Kay Collins and the struggles that she's facing at this very time. It sounds like she and her doctors have both accepted the fact that she is in her last moments of life. And, you know, whether that's days or hours or minutes or whatever it is, we have to keep remembering what she has requested of us, right? That this last time might be with ease and not with pain. And also in mind of the family, right? Scripture tells us that there's laid up for us a crown of righteousness for those of us who are Christians, those of us who are faithful in Christ. And I believe our sister has been fitted for that crown. The way she has lived her life in the face of adversity in her life is a great example for us. And I'm really encouraged by her. And I want to be there for her family when she's gone. And I hope you do too. So let's remember her in our prayers going forward. Would you bow with me? Is there anything else that we need to make mention of this morning to Jamie, after Doug, or after James?
I just want to make a correction. The door greeters for June were the Blairs, and I messed up with the pew greeters for June or the Miller. I said July, but it is June. That's my correction.
Jamie?
It wasn't in the bulletin, but next Sunday is third Sunday.
All right, next Sunday is third Sunday. Remember, that's our fellowship meal and our men's business meeting. I see some smiles out there. Would you bow with me? Righteous God, our Creator and our Father, we are so blessed and thankful, Father, for your blessings. We want to take this lesson that we had this morning very seriously and to recognize our obligation to be a blessing to others, to encourage, to just be kind and loving, to imitate Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Father, we are particularly mindful this hour of our sister Kay Collins and the great health challenges that she is seeing here in this time. And we know, Father, that your hand is with her and that you're going to deliver her just as you have for faithful souls for so many generations and centuries before now. And in times to come as well, Father, we just ask that you're gentle with her. We ask, Father, that her family would remember you, and that we would remember them, and that we would be encouragers of them, and just to help them through this loss. Father, just be with so many that are on our prayer list. Help us to be busy with doing the work of the church. Help us to be busy with our evangelistic efforts of bringing new souls to you, of nurturing those souls that are already in Christ. Help us, Father, to just imitate Christ Jesus and to be blessed as you have promised to bless us. Guide us and protect us and forgive us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.